Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Basil Free, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Northwestern's Block Museum and what it has to offer, Refresh Dance Crew's annual spring show, and TikTok's coquette trend and its surprising origins. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. Northwestern is home to a free art museum, but do students visit it and know what resources it has to offer? Rachel Spears has the story.
Northwestern students are able to explore the visual arts for free without even having to leave campus. The Block Museum of Art, affectionately called the Block, is Northwestern's own art museum. Located just south of Norris University Center and across the way from Pixdager Auditorium, is accessible to students and the public most days of the week. It is open for classes, tours, and just browsing interesting artwork. According to their website, the museum's mission is to act as an engine that drives questioning, experimentation, and collaboration across fields of study. The works on display and the resources provided by the museum hope to create spaces for shared encounters that help people to better understand themselves and the world around them. As engagement coordinator at the Block, Isabella Coe has a unique insight into what goes on behind the scenes to make spaces for students to engage with art. She explained the intentionality behind the museum.
We are an art museum on a university campus, right? So that kind of, that means that like we really see ourselves as an art museum for our campus and for campus communities.
Ella Hunter Campbell is an exchange student from University College London. She visited the museum for one of her classes this quarter and enjoyed being able to interact with art without having to go far.
I think it's incredible. I'm an exchange student and my university at home has a similar thing where we have art and everything else, but it's not as modern, if that makes sense. It's really nice that they have like touring exhibitions and stuff in there, and all of the staff were really lovely and knew a lot about what they were talking about and everything else, and I came away amazed, actually.
While the Block provides students with opportunities to visit in their classes, it is geared towards making a sustained impact on its diverse audiences. Coe described how one way in which the museum hopes to engage with the community is through programs like the Block Cinema, which shows films about topics that range in genre from experimental to classic. The Block acts as a unique resource to students of all academic backgrounds, from RTVF to art history, from STEM to economics. Another program, called the Block Student Associates, enables students to spearhead tours and make decisions about what pieces of artwork will find a permanent place in the collection.
Why that like relates to the like communal aspect is because it's like it takes a lot of work to like get consensus right amongst like many individuals. Even if like two people, it's hard to like get to consensus on things. So like the trust and like honesty and vulnerability and like clear and direct but kind communication that is necessary in order to like come to those kinds of decisions.
By engaging students in the development of the museum and actively working on strengthening ties with the university, the Block creates a bright future for itself.
Only more could grow out of that.
The art galleries are also an important part of the museum. Upstairs, there are exhibits which encourage audiences to pause and think more deeply about the art that they are taking in. One Weinberg first year and Block Museum employee, Alex Crowell, reflected on how the art makes him feel.
It's a place where students can interact with art in a lot of different ways. Like me, I have gone there as a visitor, but also as an employee. So I get to experience the art there in those different ways.
He went on to talk about an exhibition by Katie West called The Clearing that incorporates 3D aspects to the art as well as an audio portion as a part of the museum's Actions for Earth exhibition.
But it's just like super relaxing to me and it's very grounding, very earthy.
By providing an environment where people can relax and take a moment away from the hustle and bustle of academic life, the Block is a welcoming place for students and the community alike.
It's just a place where you can go to relax. Like there's study spaces there. I don't think a lot of people know about those study spaces, but they are super like peaceful, relaxing. Like it's really nice.
For me, it's a different way of using my brain. I'm a science major, but I love art, I love painting, and I love the kind of creative side of that. I think it gives people a way of kind of expressing their feelings and emotions in ways that aren't words.
Hunter Campbell goes on to explain why she thinks art is important to everyone.
Sometimes people relate a lot more to art, and it's more accessible.
From noon until 8 p.m., from Wednesday to Sunday, the Block Museum is open to students and the public. The exhibition, The Block Collects, will be open until March 3rd. Looking 101 will be open until April 21st, and Actions for the Earth, Art, Care, and Ecology will be available until July 7th.
And we are free and open for all. We're open for everyone, so we don't, like, distinguish or anything.
For WNUR News, I'm Rachel Spears.
Northwestern's Refresh Dance Crew held its annual spring show this past weekend. Cheers rang out, tears were shed, and the student org showed off exactly what they are about, community and creative expression. Michelle Huang has the story.
Cheers were loud and energies high at the 8th Annual Refresh Spring Dance Show. Hundreds of Northwestern students crowded into Ryan Auditorium at Tech to watch one of three weekend performances, 9 p.m. on Friday, 7 p.m., or 10 p.m. on Saturday. As the audience waited in anticipation for each show to start, the excitement was palpable.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you state your first and last name, please?
Yes, my first name is Yana and my last name is Son.
And can you tell me where we are right now?
We're at Ryan Auditorium here at Tech at the 10 p.m. Refresh Show.
Woo! Is this your first Refresh Show?
It's not. It's my second. I came to the Refresh Show last year as well.
And what are your thoughts in general?
Literally amazing. The energy is always amazing here, especially on the last one. And I'm here to support my friends.
Yeah. Who are your friends?
My friends are Haley Chung and Fiona Wu.
Sun wasn't the only one there to show support for some friendly faces. Seniors Kylie Kim and Jenna Kim, along with 9 other friends, arrived at the show with some very special, coordinated outfits.
Yeah, so our friend Michelle Yu, she's in Refresh, and we want to come support her. So we printed out shirts where we spell out her name, Michelle Yu, with an exclamation mark, and we use transfer paper to iron on images onto the back of the shirts. This is Pirate Michelle Unlocked.
What Michelle do you have?
Sunglasses Michelle.
They initially planned to only spell out the first 8 letters of Yu's name. However, as more and more people joined the crew, the plan had to expand. The friends formed a group chat with everyone involved, set a date to decorate shirts, and were first in line to get good seats, all of which came out of pure joy.
For Michelle, she actually joined Refresh recently.
Yes.
As a senior. And so that's not necessarily something that, you know, a lot of these people have been in the org for their entire time at Northwestern. So we really love that she's pursuing her passions and her interests senior year even.
Yeah.
So we love that. We're showing up for her. I think that's kind of what's been inspirational for us. We love Michelle. So it was a no-brainer for us to want to put in this quote-unquote effort for her.
This year's show, Fates Align, had a theme of destiny, which left a sense of mystery and anticipation.
So the theme for this show is Fates Align, right?
Yeah.
So what do you anticipate based on that, those two words?
I actually have no clue. I was really curious about that. At the end of the day, I'm not here for any of the show themes, so it was fine, but I'm curious to see what they do with the show theme.
I honestly don't know what to fully expect, which is why I'm even more excited.
But they're gonna eat.
Yeah, they're gonna eat. As always, they are gonna give.
In line with the mystical theme, the show incorporated pastel lighting and concept videos that featured flowy dresses, red strings of fate, and magic eight balls. The show itself was split into 5 sets. Also performances by outside Northwestern student dance groups. The guest performers across the 3 weekend shows were ODB, Dali Duro, and K-Dance. The night ended with a closing performance and a senior piece, which was inspired by High School Musical. As the last big Refresh event for the class of 2024, the 10 p.m. show on Saturday was particularly emotional. Before final bows, the students played a video homage to their graduating seniors. Amy Cho, a Weinberg junior and Refresh's incoming artistic director, wrote down all the planning and practice that went into the big event.
The amount of like people we needed to contact was like insane. I was like, I didn't know that the show required this much like effort. So I think like prepping for it was pretty stressful. And yeah, Tech Week is usually just a lot of rehearsal. Like it's a lot of rehearsal for everyone. Everyone gets tired. Everyone gets stressed. Everyone like is like done by the end of the day. So I think just trying to keep the energy up, but like I could definitely feel myself like tiring out.
Tech Week rehearsals could run from 5 p.m. to 12 a.m. most nights. According to Cho, she would estimate that she put around 50 hours into planning the show the week before. But at the end of the day, it was all worth it.
So on Thursday of Tech Week, like right before the day of the show, there was actually like after we ended our last like run in Tech, there was like a moment when everyone just like started bawling, like everyone was crying. And I think like that was the moment that made me realize, I'm like, oh wow, like this was all like worth it in the end. And like no matter how we do tomorrow, like it's gonna be amazing.
And now, with the biggest Refresh event of the year over, Cho and others on the team expressed feeling a mix of relief and sadness. According to freshman Elaine Sway, it's an emotion deemed post-show depression.
A lot of the seniors talk about post-show depression because everyone's so tired and all of the seniors are leaving, so it's actually really sad doing our last show, but I feel very, very happy that it went well, and like I am really tired and I'm really excited for next year now.
Yeah, after it ended, a lot of emotions, mostly just like crying because like, I don't know, like it's just like all that has come to an end, and it's like there's a certain relief that comes with that, but there's also so much like oh my god, I miss it already. Like I just want to relive it. Like I was like telling like all of my friends were saying that like after the show, like we all hung out for like after the show, and then we're all saying like how much we just want to go back and do it again.
However, Refresh isn't done yet, and there's still so much to look forward to. As Cho expressed,
I think the fact that this space exists so that we can, like, you know, grow in our own ways, but also, like, grow together. And I think I got really reminded of that this show, and it was just, like, really wholesome. Like, I was telling my friends earlier, too, but I'm like, I feel like I can't remember the last time Refresh, like, was this wholesome to me. Like, you know, like, people were, like, bawling, and, the, like, it was just, like, it was such a good energy, right? And so I just hope that energy, like, carries forth, and next year, I'm definitely excited for RFS because that's, like, the biggest show of the fall, like, Refusion Chaka. I'm just excited to dance with my friends, just to have fun.
For WNUR News, I'm Michelle Huang.
On TikTok, women have been tying bows onto dresses, their boyfriends, and even chicken nuggets, all to the tune of Lana Del Rey. But where exactly did this coquette trend come from? Mika Ellison and Ilse von Heimberg have the answers.
Breakup texts? Earrings? A baguette? A cake shaped like the Lorax? What do all these have in common? They're objects that, according to the internet, have been coquettified.
Coquette is an aesthetic that started as a trend on TikTok, but has spread to the realms of fashion, music, and beyond. Characterized by pastel pinks, frills, and bows, as well as by the music of Lana Del Rey, the aesthetic exemplifies hyper-femininity. Medill senior Alea Wilkins, a managing editor at the campus fashion magazine Stitch, has been seeing the trend both online and in person.
I've seen young people put like ribbons on their bags, or just like ribbons, like just sort of to like accessorize anything. But like I've seen it on bags, I've seen it on headphones. And I know that's like a meme right now, or maybe it was like a couple weeks ago, of like putting a bow on like random things and then being like, it's like the Lana Del Rey song in the background.
TikTok is a haven for trends and hyper-specific aesthetics like the mob wife aesthetic, mermaid core, and the tomato girl aesthetic. The coquette aesthetic, however, has stood the test of time, first gaining popularity in 2021 and becoming one of the defining trends of 2022 and 2023. It's part of a trend embracing traditional hallmarks of femininity that has been growing in popularity. Medill freshman Rachel Yoon sees the trend as forming a deeper connection with the sense of the feminine.
I think it's a lot of girls trying to like reclaim their girlhood or their womanhood, maybe. I don't know if it's like that deep, but you know, like it's just, I don't know, like feeling pretty. And also like in fashion, we've been seeing a lot of bows, a lot of like ribbon stuff, a lot of that like specific shade of red.
The coquette aesthetic has come under fire for seeming too regressive at times. Its resemblance to Lolita fashion, which infantilizes women, and its proximity to cottagecore can cause it to veer dangerously close to the stay-at-home girlfriend phenomenon.
Like, having learned the definition, I know there's kind of this like underlying sense of, oh, like the it actually means to be like a flirtatious woman, but like the image we're thinking of is very girly and youthful, so there's kind of that, oh, like maybe this is sort of like sexualizing young girls. But also I feel like I haven't seen it that way, or it doesn't feel that way to me, because I personally really like it. I really like that style, and I feel like the way I've seen it more online and on campus even is more kind of reclaiming girlhood, or like a reclamation of it, and just like kind of celebrating like really cute and girly things, and just kind of like taking ownership of that and enjoying them.
In fact, coquette's historical and linguistic roots are tied to a complicated view of gender. The word is originally French and is commonly translated to mean a woman who flirts, but its origins are illuminating.
It's literally, it comes from the word coq for rooster, and then the et on the end of it, it makes it immediately this kind of gender confused type who's basically like a woman who's acting roosterish, right? Like kind of calling a little too much preening attention to herself.
That was Teresa Braunschneider, a professor at the University of Michigan. She wrote a book on the emergence of the concept of a coquette in 18th century England. Although the style and the type are often associated with 18th century France and the aristocracy, the English version of the coquette bears some striking resemblances to the modern day one.
The typical coquette is described as she's young, unmarried, vain, and really interested in calling attention to herself, usually through the kind of display of luxury goods. So it's silk fans, ribbons, lace, brocaded petticoats, hoop skirts, and then also some, a lot of times, exotic pets like lap dogs, monkeys, parrots. And all of this is to call attention to herself and to like put herself in a position where lots of men can see her and will notice her as she's displaying all of these luxury goods. And, you know, when I'm flipping through Instagram, I'm seeing a lot of ribbons and lace and even like hats with bows on them. And that is weirdly resonant of the early 18th century coquette.
Yoon articulated those echoes of the past she's seen on TikTok.
I've seen, like, you know, the dogs with the bows on them. I've seen people, like, wrap ribbons around their boyfriends and make bows. And there was this one TikTok that was, like, almost kind of concerning. It was, like, a knife with a bow around it. I was like, oh, girl.
The concept of the coquette is tied to two ideas that have survived to the present day: power through both consumerism and power over men.
And the coquette is, like, definitively single. She's just encouraging their attention, but very much, yeah, a kind of celebration of women's single status and women trying to maintain that as long as they can in a cultural social domain where to be socially successful, they will, and economically viable, they will ultimately get married. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to delay that as long as possible. So yeah, it's about singlehood.
In 18th century England, the idea of leading on men was more than just a flirtation. It was a refusal of the economic bondage of marriage.
Encouraging a lot of men is actually saying no to all of them in a way, right? It's a refusal of marriage. It's a refusal of that narrative toward narrowing down your options. Like encouraging a lot of sexual attention is actually a way of refusing sexual subjugation. And thinking about why that's a critique of the marriage norms within a heteronormative logic is one character who says, why would I give up having 50 men at my feet to be at the feet of one man?
The coquette also carries the connotation of a woman using her purchasing power to beautify and adorn herself with rare goods.
Since it was introduced as an idea and word in England, it has been very strongly associated with consumption, particularly of luxury goods, particularly of imported goods in a time of increased global trade.
In the modern day, the consumption of girly goods and aesthetics is at an all-time high, with movies like Barbie leading the charge of femininity.
If you'd like to hear the rest of that package, check out our website, wnurnews.org. Continuing on, as we are reaching the beginning of summer, the pop culture world keeps getting more and more exciting. Mary Amelia Weiss has this week's B-list.
Welcome to the B-list, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, Hailey and Justin Bieber, Eurovision, and the NBA draft lottery. First up in celebrity news, Hailey and Justin Bieber announced that Hailey Bieber is pregnant with the couple's first child. Representatives for Hailey Bieber confirmed that she is just over 6 months pregnant. The couple, who married in 2018, announced the pregnancy in an Instagram post and were met with thousands of enthusiastic fans and well wishes from other celebrities, including Kim Kardashian and Kendall Jenner. In music, the 68th Eurovision, the annual song competition, concluded this past weekend on Saturday, May 11th in Sweden. The event featured a number of mishaps, including the disqualification of the Dutch performer, merely hours before their showtime. Switzerland came in first place with Swiss performer Nemo's performance of their song, The Code. In terms of movies, it's a big month for the big screen. While Challengers remains a box office hit and social media obsession, fans can look forward to Back to Black, a biopic on the late singer Amy Winehouse, hitting theaters this Friday, May 17th. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson, the film focuses on the making of Winehouse's hit 2006 album, Back to Black, and has already reached number one at the UK box office. And for sports, the NBA draft lottery took place this past weekend, with the Atlanta Hawks taking the top spot. The Hawks will have the first pick in the NBA draft in June. According to ESPN, the Hawks had only 3% odds for the top spot in the draft lottery. Interestingly, also according to ESPN, there is no, quote, clear-cut choice, end quote, for a top player this year. NBA teams from Washington, Houston, San Antonio, and Detroit complete the top five in the draft lottery. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Mary Amelia West.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Happy Dilla Week to all those who celebrate. For anyone feeling a bit nervous that rain might quash their Saturday plans on the Lakeville, fear not, as we can expect to see a high of 78 and sunshine all day long. Before that, though, we're going to have to push through a little dip in temperatures, with highs only reaching the low 60s tomorrow and Wednesday. Rain is also expected, but don't let that sour your summer mood, as warmth will return Thursday. Stay strong, soldiers. Good things come to those who wait. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. The number one ranked Northwestern lacrosse team is continuing their run in the NCAA tournament after beating the University of Denver team 17-4 yesterday. During the game, graduate student attacker Izzy Skane broke the Division I career goals record with her scoring her 359th career goal within 81 games. In Evanston news, the city will give the tenants of 2014 and 2024 Wesley Avenue a week-long grace period to move out of their apartments yesterday. The notice comes after the city informed the residents of structural deterioration in the building's stairs and platforms that made the apartments unsafe to live in. For the second year in a row, smoke from Canadian wildfires is making its way across the continental United States, and Illinois might be the next state to see the haze. The fires, which originated in British Columbia and Alberta, have already prompted health warnings across the upper Midwest, including within Minnesota and Wisconsin. Finally, in world news, millions in India began casting their ballots today as the country's massive six-week-long election passed its halfway mark. The election, which has entered its fourth phase, will determine whether Prime Minister Narendra Modi will be elected for a third straight term. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR news stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Kara Totley, and our reporters are Rachel Spears, Michelle Huang, Mika Ellison, Ilse von Heimberg, and Mary Amelia Weiss. I'm Basil Free. Catch our next newscast Wednesday, May 15th. Now, back to scheduled programming.